women have a unique role in creation. Women are the nurturers, the birth givers, the more spiritual of the genders. And Torah teaches that women have a special status. Join Mashi Lipska for the next hour as she expounds the Torah wisdom specific to women. Only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a good nerve, Shabbos. So wonderful to be with you on this incredible Shabbos. It's always an incredible Shabbos up ahead. But this week, our chief rabbi has made it even more special, if that's possible, because this is the week of the Shabbos Project. The name of the parsha, Vayera, the fourth parsha, is a parsha of showing up. Vayera means, and he appeared. Well, last week and this week, the parshas lay the foundation for the Jewish nation. And right at the beginning, the first parsha, Breshit, has Shabbos in it. The Kiddush is in it. Breshit, Shabbat, commemorating creation and Hashem's giving us a seventh day, which is different to all the rest. So we have a mitzvah in Breshit to keep Shabbos, to honor Shabbos. God rested on Shabbos. In Noach, we have seven mitzvot that apply to every human being, the seven Noahide laws. But by the time we come to the third, and number three is always the number of strength, the number of permanence, we have Vayera after Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha and Vayera, Maasei Avot Siman Levanim, we have the example. We have Avraham and Sarah showing us. And in this week, there's clearly the example of hospitality, the example of education, the example or Hashem giving revelation, miracles. And of course, the parsha ends with meeting challenge, the binding of Isaac. But here we have an example of Maasei Avot Siman Levanim, which means what our forefathers, what our patriarchs, what our matriarchs, what our parents, what our grandparents have done, have displayed, is actually the example and the netinat koach, the empowerment for the children. We didn't just arrive. Our nation has been here for a long time. But Shabbos has been here from the beginning of creation. And the self-sacrifice for Shabbos, the beauty of Shabbos, the smells of Shabbos, the togetherness of Shabbos, it's an amazing thing. Shabbos is a gift. And we're told that Hashem said to Moshe, I have a precious gift in my treasure house. A precious gift. Shabbos is its name, said Hashem to Moshe. Go and tell Israel, I wish to present it to them. This is in the Gemara. Name of the Gemara? Shabbos. Yes, there's a Gemara called Shabbos. And more than Yidden have kept Shabbos, Shabbos has kept the Jewish nation. It's an amazing, amazing repetitive reminder that we have a gift. Of course, it's Hashem who created Shabbos on the seventh day when he rested from all his labor. And he blessed the world with rest. And it is Hashem who gave us his most precious gift. We're his people. He chose us that we be partners with him in creation. And he's counting on us. And let's, for a moment, look at this gift called Shabbos. Picture it. The picture throughout the ages of Jewish family and friends gathered around the Shabbos table, bathed in candlelight, a white cloth, gleaming silver, the smell of Shabbos food, like fresh baked challah. I mean, this is familiar throughout the world and has been so for centuries. Think of it like this. We've all encountered houses that are comfortable, but they don't provide comfort. Maybe they are well heated or they have air con, but they're devoid of real warmth. They may shelter us from the elements, but not from the stresses of life or the storms of life. But whoever has truly experienced has experienced a real Shabbos. The preparation for the Shabbos, the lighting of the candles, the singing of the Shabbos prayers, gathering around the table, making kiddush, sitting with family and friends, no cell phones. Anyone who's ever experienced a real Shabbos from beginning to end will be quick to testify that no other time does our house feel more like a home than on Shabbos. You know, good wine, candlelight, Bobba's chicken soup and knedlach, that's not really what Shabbos is. It can't explain the joy and the tranquility. But this story helps to bring it home, and we've shared it before. It's a story about this powerful monarch who found a Friday night meal with a humble family, which he loved. And it was so delightful that he sent his cooks to learn how to duplicate every course down to the last detail. They served him the meal in his palace, probably on a Wednesday. But it left him bitterly disappointed. There was no way that this meal, prepared by his finest chefs and cooks, could compare to the meal he had enjoyed in that humble home of that Jewish family. And when the Jewish hosts were pressed for an explanation, they explained the mystery. There was one spice missing from the royal banquet, the royal feast. It was a spice called Shabbos. And that spice is out of reach for anyone who doesn't keep Shabbos. You may be rich, you may be powerful, you may be a ruler, but the spice is Shabbos itself. And it's what we taste, what we enjoy. It's reserved for those who observe Shabbos and keep it holy. And tonight, when the Jewish woman will light Shabbos candles and take her hands off her eyes and look at the candles, and she will half sigh, half smile, and say, "Good Shabbos." Hashem has blessed the woman to bring Shabbos into the home. What is that joy of Shabbos? It's the joy of truly being at home. What is home? It's where you can be comfortable and free and safe, a place where you are protected. And despite the fact that throughout the centuries and recently in the tunnels of Hamas, our people have lived with unrelenting hostility, and many still do to this day, Shabbos has always been their one haven, their one refuge, the place, the day from which they would draw strength to face the battle for survival. As the old saying goes, more than the Jews have kept Shabbos, Shabbos has kept the Jews.
You're listening to Conversations with Meshi only on 101.9 High FM.
Agot Nerev Shabbos, of the Shabbos Project, and how absolutely appropriate is it that this parsha, Vayera, the second parsha with which we live daily with Avraham and Sarah and their remarkable life, which actually blazed the trail for all of us, which actually as they did what they did and met their challenges, they did not only display for us, but they actually got the gift of empowering us to follow in their ways. They displayed as they blazed trails to change a pagan world into a world that recognizes godliness. And of course, Shabbos. More than the Jews have kept Shabbos, Shabbos has kept the Jews, no matter how difficult it is. And this Shabbos, we live with Avraham Avinu and Sarah in the Torah reading of the week as we emulate their ways to do what Hashem asks us to do, no matter how challenging. And so, we need to know that we're not alone and we're not expected to just move away from life. We're expected to blend heaven and earth. Yes, we're keeping Shabbos, but we're eating. Yes, we're keeping Shabbos, a day dedicated to Hashem and prayer and Torah study, but we're wearing lovely Shabbos clothing. Yes, we're keeping Shabbos, but we're setting the table, we're inviting guests, we're interacting. And we're not alone. As we see for Avraham and Sarah in the Parsha, their lives are normal and busy. But we see in the Parsha how Hashem keeps on appearing. Vayera, he keeps on showing up, and he appeared. Hashem appears to us as well. We're not alone. He's walking with us. He's getting there ahead of us, caring, supporting, and always setting the stage for our success. We saw it last week, clearly, in Lech Lecha. Do your part. Avraham, at the end of the parsha last week, at the age of 99, circumcised himself. What a thing to do. But he was so connected to Hashem. And Hashem speaks to Avraham. And when Hashem speaks to you, of course you listen. You feel safe. But it didn't start that way. It started with Avraham as a child looking for Hashem. And then Hashem appears. He says, I always was there. I always am here. Why does he appear? The way he created the world with loving kindness. Why does he set things up the way he does? He appears so we can learn. We can learn from him. He comes to teach us, to encourage us, to deliver, to celebrate our successes. We need to open our eyes. We need to be on his team. This Parsha, Vayera, begins with hospitality, and it was Pesach. Education is very emphasized. Chinuch, hospitality, hachnasat orchim, education, chinuch. And throughout the Parsha, there's revelation, nisim, miracles. And throughout the Parsha, there is Avraham, there is Sarah meeting the challenge. So we too so want to live this kind of life. And we have to ask ourselves, what can I do to actually open the door and invite Hashem in? How can I refine myself to experience Hashem more consciously? I want to experience him and not lose that wonderful experience. How do I do it? So the Rebbe tells us a beautiful thing. The Parsha opens with that on the third day of Avram's recovery, after his brit milah, his bris, his circumcision, God appears to him paying a visit to the sick. And when that happened, something changed in Avraham. Hashem appeared to him, Vayera Elov Hashem. And Hashem's revelation here to Avraham was on a much higher level than any previous appearance that Avraham had experienced. How did he merit it? What did Avraham do to open himself up to Hashem's revelation on a much higher level? He circumcised himself in response to Hashem's command. Circumcise? Well, in a spiritual sense, quite understandable. He removed the foreskin. He removed the insensitivity. In the Torah, we have not only to circumcise in a physical way, but there's something called circumcising the foreskin of the heart, becoming more receptive to godliness. And it is with a mitzvah. And by doing this mitzvah after Hashem commanded him to do it, Avraham became the first human being to surrender his selfhood entirely to Hashem. My ego, my sense of self, my me. Now Hashem could reveal himself directly to Avraham, and Avraham could experience this, and his ego wouldn't get in the way. And so we see that Avraham's doing this mitzvah, bris, paved the way, actually, for so much more. For us, for the giving of the Torah. And by doing this, self-transparency becomes the hallmark of Jewish existence. And that means by accepting the Torah from Hashem and connecting to Hashem on that egoless level. I accept whatever you're offering, Nasa. And by accepting the mitzvahs, we accept Hashem's vision for us. You have a vision for us, and we're on your team, and we can thereby remove all the barriers between Hashem and us. We accept the Torah from Hashem, and we commit ourselves to living. Commit ourselves that no matter how challenging, I will live according to your vision for me. And that's how we remove all the barriers between Hashem and us. And of course, that in turn enables Hashem to reveal himself in our lives in increasingly tangible ways. It's an incredible, incredible thing. Hashem approaches us. We do an action. Hashem says, here's a mitzvah. I take on the mitzvah. And wow, I've changed. I've accepted. And Hashem takes me higher and higher. We need to clear our ego. That's what gets in the way. That ego is our enemy. It pretends to be our friend. Let me share a little story. Please God, next week, on the 20th of Cheshvan, it's the birthday of the fifth Rebbe. Well-known story when he was 4 or 5, and it was in this parsha, and he came in to visit the Rebbe, his grandfather. And he burst into tears, and he said, Zayde, I learned in Cheder that Hashem appeared to Avraham. Why doesn't Hashem appear to us? And he cried. And his Zayde said that when a Jew at the age of 99 decides he must circumcise himself, he's worth it. He's worth that Hashem should appear to him. What is 99? Avraham had a life of mitzvahs, a life of service from the time he was a little boy. 100 is that perfect number. 10 times 10 are 10 intellectual and emotional qualities perfected within the other 10. 99 is almost perfect. 99 is having worked all those years, but I'm not there yet. And Avraham did work to perfect himself. We know that he had 10 challenges. He's 99. How much has he done in his life? But he's still doing. And Hashem challenges him, circumcise yourself, and he answers the call. And as the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Rebbe, said, then he's worth it that Hashem should appear to him. We need to be worth it. And the Rebbe spoke about this story so many times and said that children can be trained to yearn for godliness. Children can be yearned the fact that this future Rebbe cried when he was little, he actually broke down the barriers that children would only want to play with toys, only want to have sweets, only want to do things that give pleasure to the body, give pleasure to the ego. There can be something higher. It's an incredible thing. We move a little later into the parsha. We've already experienced Hashem's visiting the sick, and then these angels appear. And when they appear, they are actually in the form of people, but Hashem has sent them in the form of people because he sees how Avraham is looking for guests. It's so part of him. And each angel has a mission, and the one is there to heal Avraham. And with his arrival, Avraham becomes healed. And then he's able to run around and serve them. And one is there to tell Sarah that in a year, she is going to have a baby. She's 89 at the time, and she's going to have a baby at the age of 90. And the third one was there to overturn the city of Sodom. Hashem says, I have promised to give Avraham this whole land. And now I've decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Must I conceal from Avraham what I'm about to do? Avraham is going to be a great and powerful nation, and all the nations of the world are going to bless themselves through this nation. And then Hashem says, I love him because he commands his children and his household after him to keep the way of Hashem, to keep righteousness, justice, in order that Hashem bring on Avraham whatever he has promised to do. It's a back and forth. Hashem gives. He elevates us to a new level. And Hashem gives more. And it's an amazing thing. Hashem is rewarding Avraham because he trains his children. Hashem loves Avraham not for the 10 tests and not for so many other things that he has done to make Hashem known in the world. He loves him because he passes it on to the children. How? How? He passes it on through example. He's training Yishmael with hospitality at the beginning of the parsha. Whatever you're raised with, whatever you see, becomes part of you. So Avraham uses hospitality, kindness and hospitality, to spread monotheism in the world. It's not only a lesson for us, but an empowerment for us. And how absolutely appropriate that we have the Shabbos project in the week when we read this. Avraham lived in Hebron, and his kindness and hospitality stood in stark contrast to the wickedness, the inhospitality of the nearby cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighbors. And now that Hashem, after the angels had visited him, informs Avraham that he's going to eliminate these cities, what does Avraham do? He begins to plead with Hashem on their behalf. What is the lesson to us? The Rebbe tells us. Avraham came forward and said, Hashem, would you obliterate the righteous together with the wicked? When he saw that the angels were headed towards Sodom in order to destroy it on the mission of Hashem, although Avraham is tremendously, tremendously kind and holy, he realizes that he must plead. He has to go against his naturally kind disposition and not mince words. He really argues with Hashem now and demands, Hashem, annul your decree. From this we learn, from his example, that if we ever get a chance to save someone else, you get an opportunity, we must immediately save the other person, either physically or spiritually. We mustn't hesitate. We must do all we can to save them, even if it means making ourselves uncomfortable, going against our natural disposition. And that takes us to 1951, when the Rebbe accepted the mantle of leadership. And there was a video clip that went out yesterday, just a minute long, which is a recording of part of the Hasidic discourse that the Rebbe gave on that occasion when he accepted the mantle of leadership as a seventh Rebbe. And the Rebbe cried when he said, Avraham came to a place where they knew nothing about God, nothing about Yiddishkeit. They didn't even know Aleph Beis, like the basics. And then the Rebbe cried. You can feel his pain. And the Rebbe said, and what was he feeling? The feeling is he's hurting for the people who are disconnected from Hashem. The Rebbe loves Hashem so much, feels so close to Hashem, and loves all of us, loves the whole world so much, just wants them to taste this sweetness. And the Rebbe said he would come to a place and he would call there in the name of Hashem, God of the world, kind God of even what's hidden, Kel Olam. And our sages say, Vayikra, in that pasuk, and he called, Al tikra vayikra el vayakri. When you read it, don't read it, he just called there. Read it also, he caused others to call. He stayed there long enough to educate the people until they too called in the name of God. They too joined spreading monotheism, justice, righteousness, values, morality, as he had taught them. Don't read it Vayikra, that you studying Torah is enough, you praying is enough. Read it Vayakri, you have a responsibility to others. How? He had a tent open on four sides with food, which speaks an international language, hospitality, and being present and caring, even caring about the sinners, the pagans, the idol worshippers. And his children were raised in that kind of home, and they saw.
You're listening to Conversations with Mashi only on 101.9 High FM.
I'm Mashi Lipsker. Erev Parshas Vayera, the week of Vayera, where Hashem appears, where Hashem shows up, where Hashem comes to visit Avraham, where Avraham speaks up for the people, the decadent people of Sodom and Gomorrah, trying hard to, number one, do whatever he could to prevent their destruction, and at the same time, being a positive influence in the world. You know, Avraham had this tent, and people came, but not everybody came. But some people, they heard about the tent. Some people just heard about this man who's challenging the norm. Some people just spoke about it but never came. But even though they didn't necessarily come, the world began to change. So it is in our times as well. Our homes, our shuls, our schools actually change the environment. There are people who come to shul, people who go to the yeshiva, people go to the day school, and other people who are friends with them, who know about them, or just heard about them. The world shifts. We need to know that we need to be the example of Avraham and Sarah, even if we never met the person, but the person heard about you, you can be a positive influence on them. We need to understand that it's not just the things that we do, but who we are. And so here we are with a chance to keep Shabbos. Huge gift. And if we model it, if we enter into the Shabbos, we will discover that the energy of Shabbos is different. The world depends on Shabbos. That was the seventh day of creation. The world changes. We change. Hashem is always with us, but on Shabbos, you feel it more. The world gets a different energy, and we get a different energy. What is our energy? Our energy comes in the form of an additional soul called the Neshama Yesera. And we have to feed it with Shabbos food, obviously kosher. We have to clothe ourselves in Shabbos clothing, and we have to nurture our soul with Shabbos activity. And one of them is hospitality, the Shabbos table, the Torah talk, the Torah study, the prayer. It's in our hands. We are the children of Abraham and Sarah. What a privilege, what a privilege. And eventually we come to the end of the parsha. And the end of the parsha talks to us about tests and challenges. Hashem turns around to Avraham. Please, he says, no, please take your son, your only son, the one you love, Yitzchak. Go to the land of Moriah, and there take him up as an offering, an olah, an ascent offering, on one of the mountains that I will show you. Wow, wow, wow. What is going on? I mean, Avraham would do anything. Avraham had already passed 9 other tests. We have to ask ourselves, why does Hashem need to test Avraham? Doesn't Hashem know what is in Avraham's heart? And then we turn it around to ourselves and say, why, Hashem, do you have to test us? Another test? Another test? Any mitzvah, any challenge can seem like an akedah. Take the Shabbos project, tefillin, Shabbos candles in the right time with the right bracha, kosher food, mikveh, all of these may feel extremely challenging, but the Rebbe points out something incredible. When Hashem challenges you, when Hashem challenged Avraham, what happened? The challenge itself lifted him higher. It lifted him to a place he could never have reached on his own. It revealed entirely hidden capacities, granting Avraham powers he might have never imagined he had. And so it is with us. Why does Hashem need to test me? He knows what's in my heart. I don't know that I can commit to kosher. I don't know if I can commit to a whole Shabbos. The question is, why not? When Hashem challenges me, the challenge itself lifts me higher to a place I could never reach on my own. And it reveals entirely hidden capacities, giving me the powers I never imagined I had. And so I have to say to myself, when Hashem throws me a challenge, I must never say, I'll never pass this test. It's bigger than me. It's beyond me. And the Rebbe says, it may be true that you were never capable, but thanks to this challenge, you are now capable. And I would like to share some of a letter that the Rebbe wrote to a person who wrote to him that he has a hardware store and Shabbos is the most lucrative day. He said, I can't not work on Shabbos. And the Rebbe took the time and answered him in the most personal, beautiful way. And, you know, he said, I got your letter. And in your letter, you tell me about yourself and your family, and then you tell me your problem. You've got this hardware store where on Shabbos, your weekly income is mostly on Shabbos. And you keep your store open on Shabbos, and it bothers you that you're breaking Shabbos, and therefore you're asking my advice. The way the Rebbe answers is quite magical. The way the Rebbe answers talks to me as well.
You're listening to Conversations with Mashi only on 101.9 High FM.
I'm Mashi Lipsker. We're talking the Parsha. We're talking Avram and Sarah. And we're talking Shabbos Project. And as we spoke before the break, here's a letter, and I'll just adapt. A letter about keeping Shabbos that somebody wrote to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe said he was happy to hear that it disturbs him that he desecrates Shabbos. And it disturbs you to the depths of your heart, and you're writing me this letter. But that shows that the Jewish heart is alive and active and strongly objects to you doing something wrong. It's wrong not only for your soul, but also for your body, because the body and soul of a Jew are closely united to form one whole, and there can't be something which is hurtful to the soul and not hurt the body. Amazing point. And then the Rebbe says an amazing thing. He says, Jews in general, and observant, faithful ones in particular, have no doubt that God created the world, that he guides the world, or that the Ten Commandments are from Hashem. And amongst them, there's number four. Remember the Shabbos day to keep it holy. You shall do no work on it. And then he says, it's equally certain that Hashem, who created man, also provides him with the opportunities to sustain himself. It would be illogical to imagine that Hashem would compel anyone to get his livelihood in a way that's contrary to the will of Hashem, and particularly contrary to his holy will expressed in the fourth commandment of keeping the Shabbos day holy. And the Rebbe says, there's one more point I want to underline, to underscore. The money you earn is not an end in itself. It's a means to get one's needs. Obviously, rather than first earning money and then, God forbid, spending it on medical care, it's preferable to forego both the earning and the medical expenses and just be well. The important thing, therefore, is not the money earned, but the assurance that the money will be well spent and properly enjoyed. And then he says, you have the privilege of being born a Jew, which means you've been given the possibility to go through life along the Jewish path, the path of Torah and mitzvahs, of which keeping Shabbos, kosher, family purity, mikveh are fundamentals. And then the Rebbe says, our ultimate happiness, or the ultimate happiness of a Jewish man and woman, can only be found through Torah and mitzvahs. And if we decide to follow the path of Torah and mitzvahs, says the Rebbe, Hashem will provide us with a kosher way of earning a living. There may be challenges, but we must believe, and ultimately we will see, that Hashem comes through for us. We are believers. We must act, be firm in our faith, and eventually Hashem will provide us with all we need to carry out his will. And the thing to remember is that what we truly want is harmony between the physical and the spiritual, between our material needs and our divine souls, because a Jew neither desires nor can be separated from Hashem. So as we go into Shabbos, as we prepare for the Shabbos Project, let's prepare to taste something of our own essence, a harmony between our soul, our body, that our life truly reflects who we are. Good Shabbos.